Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On first down, Wentz fakes to Scott. He's rolling. He's looking. Still rolling. Fires across the field, and it's caught for a touchdown. Josh Perkins, a 24-yard touchdown pass from Carson Wentz.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The recognizable voice of Merrill Reese, the Eagles radio network, had the chance to call a Super Bowl win not that long ago. Thanks so much for joining us. Final show of the work week. How much do you miss sports? We've got a poll up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I had a chance to catch up with longtime Eagles left tackle Trey Thomas. And it was so much fun to talk to him, a wide-ranging conversation. But I always like to get my guests warmed up, to get to know them a little bit, to ask them a softball question at the beginning. So I started out by asking Trey how he would evaluate what the NFL has done so far in these last 3 months where, oh, goodness, there's no blueprint.
I think they've been doing a really good job of just pushing forward, as football players, you become programmed at times. You know what your dates are, and you just put your head down and you try to get to it and execute the game plan as best as possible. So I think that that's one of the things that they've been doing a really good job of, is just saying, hey, we're going to just try to stick to the status quo and just keep pushing things along. I think that even with, when the pandemic did hit and you still had the draft, the way they called an audible and started and had everybody at their homes, I thought was just another nice touch of just experiencing the draft that way. I really enjoyed it.
We hear a lot of football veterans say, I don't know, maybe 6 years in, maybe it doesn't even take that long, that training camp and OTAs are not necessary. You'd rather have the time off for your physical body and your mind to recover. But for younger players, how important are those OTAs and rookie camps for them to get acclimated?
I think it's extremely important because you just got to get used to the timing of the game. You have to have a time to where you can work on certain things, where you can continue to sharpen your game, because it's not like basketball where if you just have a hoop out there in your driveway, you can get better or just go to a local gym. You need to be able to work against somebody and have that physical aspect of it where you have somebody pushing on you, you pushing on someone else, working the timing of what you're doing. You know, I think that there's just something that you just can't get around when it comes to football.
And that really seems like it's the case for offensive linemen. And you were a left tackle for your career. You are a left tackle. I think once a tackle, always a tackle, right? But
yeah.
How much do those reps and that ability to work with your teammates in person make a difference when the games actually count?
Oh, it made a lot. It made it, because I always felt like, you know, we went – Coach Reed did a really good job of preparing us, even with Juan Castillo, you know, of making Wednesdays and Thursdays practices were extremely tough for us. So by the time we got to Sunday, I mean, it was just – the game was so much easier because you've already have challenged yourself throughout the week to get yourself ready to go.
Hmm. Trey Thomas is a three-time Pro Bowl offensive lineman, left tackle with the Philadelphia Eagles, and spent the majority of his career there. And he mentions Andy Reid. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm so glad you brought up Coach Reid, because I can imagine that pretty much every guy who played for him was thrilled to see him get his success and get that ring in early February. What was that like for you as someone who knows him really well, not just as a player, but as an assistant coach?
Yeah, I mean, it just was extremely exciting. It was just a good time, just because you know how much he sacrificed for this game. And to see him finally get one, I just thought that, you know, I was extremely happy for him. My parents were all happy for him, and I made sure we called him and congratulated him and everything. And, you know, Coach Reed is the type of person, man, you can text him like, hey, Coach, man, I have something I want to ask you. And he calls you right back. Aww. You know, so he's always been our coach and will always be our coach. And, you know, and that's why we just all of us just think so much of him and just really we're extremely excited to see him finally get that win.
You know, it's not every coach, and this is really any profession, but it's not every coach can figure out how to communicate with a younger generation, guys who are, you know, so many decades younger. And I don't want to say they don't speak the same language, but things change, and not every young person wants to hear from an older person. And sometimes there can be this great divide. What is it about Coach Reed that younger guys still want to hear what he has to say and that he can communicate so well with them?
I think the thing that he takes you as where you are. You know, he doesn't try to manipulate you or change you. You know, Coach Reed was always saying, like, hey, man, I want your personalities to show, because you're your best when you are just what you are. And, you know, they don't try to come in and mold you. And I think that that's one of the key factors in being a successful coach is being able to manage all of these different personalities. And you might have somebody that likes to scream on the bus, you know, a little crazy stuff. And then you got Brian Dawkins that wants to go and have a press service. You know what I'm saying, on his own. So, you know, you got to be able to manage all of those personalities and make sure that you create an atmosphere where they feel like a band of brothers. And I think that that's one of the things that Coach Reed did a really good job at with just bringing us along as a team.
And then there are those Hawaiian shirts, Trey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just makes you feel comfortable. I mean, you know, it's like, how can you not see a Hawaiian shirt and just not feel comfortable? You know, like I think I sat down at Coach Reed's office one year, and he had fined me like so much money that his first year, because I was just a knucklehead a little bit. And, you know, and he had on a Hawaiian shirt, and it just made it feel okay. I was like, all right, that's cool, you know. I'll go ahead and sign this paper. I know you're fining me for a lot of money, but you have a Hawaiian shirt right now, and it's okay.
But he was patient with you, even though he was fighting you. It was almost like a father figure who was like, okay, I love you, but but I got to take care of this.
Yeah, you know, I know this is going to hurt a little bit. It's all right. It's going to hurt me more than it's hurt you, but it's okay. I'm going to take this money off of you, and it's all right, you know. Because, I mean, he will fine us for everything. I mean, it was $100 per pound if you were overweight. You know, you better not be late for any meeting. So we never were late, never was on any of that. But my thing, my first couple of years was weight. So, man, he used to fine me so much for weight. But, I mean, you know, he was just, because he cared about us. He wanted us to be at our best. And he, you know, he would give us the, you know, we would sit down at the end of the year, and he would bring me in his room, and he would pull out his list of stuff that he let slide. And then we would talk about it, and then we move on.
So he was hands-on. He was real personal with you guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, extremely hands-on, you know. And it was nothing for him to come pop his head in our meeting rooms and say something to us or whatever, you know, especially on the field. You know, I think he was extremely hands-on with us.
That moment when he got his Gatorade bath, I had been waiting for it. I'm sure many people were. I couldn't wait to see that. And it feels like eons ago now, and yet the joy and the excitement and of course, the relief for him, too, feeling like that weight had been lifted, all in that Gatorade bath on the sidelines in Miami.
Yeah. It was a good time.
Trey Thomas is a longtime Eagles offensive lineman, played for Andy Reid, and then was on his coaching staff for a couple of years. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. When you see that offense, that really constructed around Patrick Mahomes and the way they use running backs and the misdirection and the speed and the creativity, what do you like about it?
It's just a fast-paced offense. You know, it's you're going to spread you out there. They're going to put you a secondary in some stressful situations because you have so much speed out there. You have Mahomes that can throw the ball at any angle, and then you have all-pro tight end out there, possibly future Hall of Famer tight end out there with Kelsey. So, and then you continue to build a strong offensive line. I mean, you know, that's pretty much what you want out of any offense. You know, you want weapons out there on the edges, have you a solid tight end and a quarterback that can get out there and get it to them.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Zone read, keeps it himself right up the middle into the end zone, a touchdown. Second touchdown run of the first quarter for Jalen Hurts.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That's the voice of Toby Rowland on Learfield Sports, the Oklahoma football team. Remember, Jalen Hurts finished his career with OU. It's odd still, but an amazing finish to his career after those years he spent at Alabama. Now he is one of the Philadelphia Eagles, drafted early in the second round in April. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, continuing our conversation with longtime Eagles left tackle Trey Thomas. And we talked a bunch about Andy Reid, a little bit about the Kansas City Chiefs, but what about the Eagles? Because, Trey, you'll be remembered as an Eagles lifer. Carson Wentz has certainly taken a lot of flack in his time in Philadelphia. But as an offensive lineman, through your eyes, what have you seen that you like about him?
Taking so much flack, that's just the life of a quarterback. I mean, you know, that's what they're going to get. They're going to get the flack. They're going to get all the praise. They're going to get the flack, too. So it comes with the territory.
Do you sometimes... Sometimes roll your eyes at how much attention the quarterbacks get.
Yeah, they get it all. They're going to get it all, And then everybody's like, he went out there and he threw for 500-600 yards. Well, yeah, if he didn't get touched the entire game, he should throw for 500-600 yards. So, I mean, yeah, that's awesome. Good. I'm glad that he threw for 500 yards. He didn't get touched. So, yeah, that's good. He should.
Well, so that's why quarterbacks have to give the offensive line these great gifts, right? Because they know that you're the reason why he had that huge game.
I know. And it's so funny. That's why with my trench talk stuff that I do now, it's like I'm just trying to educate people on the game. Because people will be like, oh, my gosh, this running back is so phenomenal. He is the best running back I've ever seen. My God. And I'm like, you do know that every run play is designed to get the running back to the safety. And if he gets to the safety, he should have 200 yards a game. If he doesn't get touched, But now people don't realize that. They're like, oh, man, yeah. Because one guy posted something about, what's my man's name? Miles Sanders. And he was like, oh, my God, look how quick he was. Look at how fast he was on this play. I'm like, man, he only had to make one person miss. And then he was almost to the house. Come on. Yeah. Look at the offensive line. Look at that. Celebrate that first.
There you go.
Then we can talk about the running back.
Trench Talk is part of what Trey Thomas does on YouTube, and you can find that on his Twitter as well, but YouTube channel, and then you can actually see it in video. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So, Trey, here's a question. There's so much communication that goes on in the trenches. We know the trash talk, too. We hear about it. But can you imagine all of that coming out and being on a broadcast on a microphone if there are no fans and all of this is available for public consumption?
Yeah, that's a little concerning. You have some of the guys that, that do start mouthing off a little bit, how are they going to bleep out some of the stuff that's said on the field? It's going to be interesting. But you're going to get a taste of it with the NBA coming up in a couple of weeks. So we'll see how that all plays out.
Is there an advantage or disadvantage for one side or the other if you can hear what's being said on the line?
Well, I think as defensive players are hearing what offensive linemen are doing anyway, just because they're right there in our face, it's just changing up all the code words and everything. Because now, with it being a broadcast and you don't have the crowd noise and all that, now other people can pick up on your calls. So you're going to have to be constantly changing your calls every week, because if not, somebody will just listen to the broadcast and have everything that you do as an offense.
I could imagine even over the course of a game, you might have people who are listening to it and trying to figure out the sequences and the language and maybe applying that in the second half or telling guys what to listen for.
Oh, absolutely. When you start as an offensive line, that's why I always try to, it makes me shudder a little bit when I see offensive linemen putting big, giant hand motions to their calls, because it's like, okay, you're telling everybody what you're doing. If everybody puts up their left arm and you're saying, okay, we're all sliding to the left. You can yell it. You can come up with a subtle way to make that call without everybody looking like, minds out there with all these big, extravagant arm gestures saying this is where we're going, like the defense won't catch up on that.
You played in some really big games, some huge playoff games, conference championships, and there's this talk about having crowd noise pumped in, which I know sometimes is part of the practice and the preparation before you go into a hostile atmosphere. But which would you prefer if you were a player, having the quiet or having the noise pumped in through the loudspeakers?
I like the noise, because after a while you don't hear it anyway. It'll just be loud. It turns into, like, after a while it kind of just turns into, like, if it's a staticky station, it just, you really don't even pay attention to it. It's like it's just there, because we've been into some really loud games where you can't even hear the guy that's right next to you, and you just have to kind of figure out a way to communicate. And I think that Coach Reed did a really good job of being with that, because practicing us in the bubble and having that music turned all the way up so that we can start working on some of the ways to communicate with each other so that we can be effective out there on the field.
Which would be stranger, because you also played at Florida State, an NFL game with no fans or a big-time college game without fans?
I think a big-time college game without fans would be ridiculous. I mean, just because of the camaraderie that goes on. Like, for me, college football is just ridiculous. I mean, it's on a whole nother level. I think that, some of the fans, when it comes to protein, especially in the Northeast, it's more about the proteins. But the South, man, when it comes to those football games, it's family right, in certain ways, so you got to kind of, it's a different atmosphere. So I just think like going to a University of Florida, Florida State game with no fans would just be like, what are we doing?
The longtime Eagles left tackle, Trey Thomas, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk about the Eagles just a little bit more. There was talk back to the quarterbacks just for a second. There was a lot of talk about the Jalen Hurts draft pick. It doesn't seem nearly as controversial as all the talk about the Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love situation in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. But how about the offensive line and the challenge of protecting a mobile quarterback, which Jalen is? He's a guy who's made a killing on being mobile.
Mm-hmm. Well, the challenge is, the quarterback, I think, just if when you are a mobile quarterback, there are some pluses and minuses. There are going to be some times where we're going to get beat, and I'm going to need you to put those little fancy shoes on and make a special move and make me look good, But then there are times that I need you to get rid of the ball because, just take whatever the offense gives you and just get rid of the ball. But there are times that when you have those athletic quarterbacks, they tend to hold on to the ball a little bit longer because they always feel like, well, all else fails, my feet can save me, and that can cause a problem. So I just feel like, just being a quarterback, I think that they need to really work on timing, taking what the defense is giving them. Then now, if whatever your reads aren't there, then go ahead and make something happen with your feet. But don't wait too long because, at the end of the day, you only have 2.5 seconds to make a decision.
It's something I say on my show often, that the NFC East is the soap opera of the NFL, because every year there's some kind of drama. But also you can see what's happened with the Eagles the last couple of seasons, even just a few months ago, rallying at the end, taking advantage of a Dallas Cowboys collapse, winning the division. But the last 2 years, even in the face of injuries, being able to come back and, of course, win that Super Bowl title. What do you like about the leadership of Doug Peterson now, who's got the franchise turned around?
I think Doug brought back that family environment, that was kind of missing when Coach Kelly came in. I think when Coach Kelly came in, it kind of took away that family environment. The locker room just changed. It didn't have that same type of energy over at One NovaCare Way. And I think when Doug came in as someone that has walked those hallways, been in the locker room as a player, and also understands the ins and outs of the games as a player and as a coach as well, I think that helped kind of create a different energy in there. You start allowing vets to come back to the facility, and it was just a totally different atmosphere. You could just tell, like, that team really just fed off of the leadership of Doug and his other coaches.
Football is obviously not just a contact sport, but a collision sport. There's no way to avoid the contact like you can in other sports. If you were a player in 2020, Trey, how concerned would you be about the virus and about the health and safety protocols that are going to be required?
You're talking to someone that came off blood clot medication twice so that I could play. So, yeah.
So to you, it would be worth it.
Yeah, to me, I mean, you know, if they give us a date and that's the date that we're running with and all of us on board, all right, let's go to work, you know. But like I said, like as a player, I've put myself in certain situations and have come off stuff just so that I can go out there and be around my brothers. And, you know, and I just feel like, you know, everybody has to feel that comfort, though. And if you don't feel comfortable with it, you can't hold it against them. That's that own person's right to feel the way that they do. But for me, I just feel like, you know what, hey, all right, this is our date. All right, let's go.
So then, as someone who is willing to sacrifice so much to be part of the NFL and to play the game that you love, what's happening in baseball must be slightly infuriating to you.
Oh, yeah, man, because, I mean, everybody's fighting over what? I mean, come on. I mean, let's get it on. Get it going, you know. What are we going to do? Are you going to play or not? You know, and
yeah.
Then I think you just had Mike Trout put out a statement, and then, I don't know, somebody else put out there. I don't know, man. It's been dragging on for so long. It's like, okay, if you keep going any further than the season, it's just you're not going to have a season.
Mm. Bryce Harper wants to be an Eagle.
To do what?
I don't have any idea.
You know, like, everybody think it's sweet. You know, like, hey, what position would Bryce Harper hop his little behind out there and play? I would love to know what position Bryce Harper would like to play.
Not to mention, would he give up all of his guaranteed money for the NFL?
It looked cute with the eye black. You got a nice little jersey on. You have a headband. They throw a little smudge on your face. Yeah, I'm a football. I look like a football player. Yeah, all right. Okay. I would love to see what position Bryce Harper would like to play.
No, punter maybe.
now, I tell you what, though. Now, when you look at his dad, his dad looks like he has no problem. Like, all right, what are we doing? You know, because his dad is not shying away from the weight room at all. I think he keeps dumbbells in his pocket just so he can get some curls in on his downtime, you know. But, yeah, man, Bryce Harper, it looked cute, though. Like, oh, yeah, the hair blowing in the wind. You know?
Okay, Trey, just promise me that you'll come on the show again because I don't think I've laughed this hard in a few weeks.
Yeah. But it's a cute picture, very cute picture.
Yeah, it makes a nice social media post, doesn't it?
Yeah. Look at me, Bryce Harper football player. Yeah. All right. What position you want to play?
All right. So this is the kind of stuff you're going to get with Trey on his YouTube channel, In the Trenches with Trey Thomas. I'll expect some of this to pop up on your next YouTube video. And then you can also find him on Twitter at 72 Trey Thomas. And he's most of his career with the Eagles, a 3-time Pro Bowler, left tackle. It's great to talk to you. So just, again, promise you'll come back on the show when you have some time.
Anytime.
His hair blowing in the breeze. Bryce Harper on blast and baseball on blast. But I also appreciate what he had to say about his own personal struggle and his own personal decision in his career, coming off of blood clot medication to play the game he loved, taking that risk, but doing it because he would have done anything to be able to stay out there, and played in some incredible games, including a Super Bowl, and played with Andy Reid and then coach with Andy Reid, and really enjoyed that conversation. Laughed a lot, as I mentioned to him, but also appreciate the information and his candor. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Don't think I would need to ask Trey how much he would miss football, how much he, even with baseball, talking about it, get your butts back on the field, right? It would be a 10. But how much do you miss sports on a scale of 1 to 10? So we've got a poll up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter. And right now, More than half of you who voted on Twitter have said 10. So we gave you multiple options, 0 to 3, 4 to 6, 7 to 9, and then 10. And now 54% of you at this point in the poll have said your level of missing sports is at the highest. It's out of 10. But on Facebook, we've got some who are giving different answers. let's see. Howard says zero. With baseball screwing it up, the political movements getting into sports, it's just not worth watching or following anymore. Now, maybe you'll feel differently when they come back. Right now, that's what it feels like. But when they return, it could incite some different emotions in you. Let's see. Jesse on Facebook. No sports on TV is one thing I've been able to bite the bullet about, but no A-Law on the radio would be horrific. Aw, you know exactly what to say to make a girl feel good. Barbara says zero. I spend more time outdoors and with my family. The gyms are now open, so my new favorite athlete is me. Well, congratulations. Gyms are not open in my neighborhood. Frank says 10. I'm tired of hanging out with my wife and daughter. Aw, he says I love them, but enough already with the 90-day fiance. Halfway through our final show of the week, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.